Welcome to Just a Minute. Hello, my name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, once more it is my pleasure to introduce to you the four exciting and dynamic personalities who this week are going to play Just a Minute. We welcome back Paul Merton and Richard Murdoch, and we welcome back, who've been playing the game for quite a long while, Peter Jones and Derek Nimmer. Will you please welcome all four of them? Beside me sits Ian Messiter, the creator of the game, who not only blows his whistle when 60 seconds are up, but also keeps the score for us. And what I'm going to do is ask our four panellists if they can speak, as usual, on the subject that I give them, and they will try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviation. And we will begin the show this week with Derek Nimmo. Derek, the subject is coconut shies. Will you tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now?
I've always liked going to the fairground and taking part in a coconut shy, or rather, shying at coconuts. The first one I ever went to was at Blackpool, and then at New Brighton on the Wirral Peninsula. I do think it is the most exciting game, and when you see the chap standing there saying, "I've got a lovely bunch of coconuts, I possess a pair of beautiful boards. There stands my wife, the idol of my life, singing roll, a spherical object, roll one like that." It's a very nice way game to play. And you have marvellous prizes, of course,
and,
too.
Peter Jones,
wonderful prizes they have.
He repeated the word game. He repeated game.
Did he?
Yes, yes, he did. Definitely.
Yeah. Game at the beginning.
He tried to shout you down, Peter, so you couldn't even get your challenge in.
I know he did.
It's difficult sitting beside him, isn't it? That was a correct challenge, so you get a point for that, and you have 24 seconds to talk on the subject of coconut shies, starting now.
My experience was, when I was a boy, that the coconuts were always very heavy and the balls very light. But I was very keen indeed.
And Richard Murdoch has challenged.
It's another very.
Richard, you got in with the correct challenge, and a point for you, and 16 seconds for you to take over the subject of coconut shies.
I first found a coconut shy at Blakeney in Norfolk during the Gatto week.
Derek Nimmer, sir.
Hesitation, I'm afraid.
Yes.
Hesitation's correct. So you get a point for a correct challenge. Shake over the subject. 10 seconds. Coconut shy is starting now.
Quite the nicest coconut shy that I ever came across is when I drove from Melbourne on the long road to Geelong. And when I got there, I found this fairground par excellence.
And Paul Merton has challenged.
Repetition of fairground.
Oh, correct. You talked about the fairground
very,
before.
Very well
yes.
listened, yes.
So, and not only that, we have heard from everybody in the first round. Isn't that exciting? And there is half a second to go, so you've got in marvellously just before the end, Paul. Coconut shy is starting now.
Coconut.
Those of our audience who may not, because Paul actually had a very funny look on his face then, but actually it's a great advantage to get in just before the whistle, because it means that you keep going, and when the whistle goes, whoever's speaking then gets an extra point, and it was Paul Merton who's in the lead at the end of that round, and we'd like you to take the next round, Paul. The subject, clout. Can you tell us something about that in this game, starting now?
I suppose clout means power, the exercise of energy making somebody doing something that perhaps they wouldn't want to do. Clout is making, for example.
And Derek Nimmo.
Hesitation is
And there are 49 seconds for you to take over the subject of clout, starting now.
I think a particularly useful English proverb is that one which says, "Ne'er cast a clout till May is out," because we do seem to have increasingly long winters and the spring seems eternal, and therefore a clout should not be got forgotten.
And Peter Jones has challenged.
Hesitation.
Hesitation is right, Peter. 32 seconds are left, and you now tell us something about clout, starting now.
I suppose it is power, as Paul said, and absolute power, or clout.
Derek Nimmo challenged.
Of power.
There's too much power, actually, yes. 26 seconds are left, and it's you, Derek, again, on clout starting now.
I suppose few people in the Southern Hemisphere have more clout than the former mayor of Auckland, Dove Meyer Robinson. What a remarkable man. Robbie to his chums. He was a great power lord in that city for
and
so many
Paul
years.
Paul Merton has challenged
I think
you.
This is deviation. I mean, there surely must be more people in the Southern Hemisphere than more clout, you know, with more
I
clout
few.
Than...
Few.
But I've never heard of him.
I mean, haven't
this
man
who wields enormous clout.
Anybody who came to Auckland have heard of Dove Meyer Robinson.
It was a very good try deviation, but actually he did say a few people. He did sort of preface it with that. So therefore, I think to try and be fair, Derek should keep the subject and still go on telling us about clout starting now.
So look, if you don't shut up, I'll give you a clout around the ears. That's what my mother used to say to me when I was little and living in Bradford. And I remember being frightened of getting clouts when I came home from school. It was the most...
Well, Derry Nimmer got a number of points in that round, including one for speaking as the whistle went, and therefore he has leapt into the lead at the end of the round. Richard Murdoch, will you take the next round? The subject is the ideal garden. Will you tell us something about that in this game, starting now?
Well, the ideal garden has fairies at the bottom of it. You just keep right ahead and keep past the gardener's shed. It also has a little wood with moss in it and beetles and a little stream that quietly runs through. You wouldn't think they dare to go merrymaking there, but they do. And another thing that you have to have in this garden is three dimensions, sight, sound and scent. The sound...
So it's so difficult, isn't it? But he kept going for 29 seconds. Yes, and Derek challenged first, and it
two
was...
Two littles, two sounds.
Yes, and repetition there. 31 seconds. The ideal garden with you, Derek, starting
for
now.
For me, the actual best and most ideal garden that I ever saw was Liberace's garden in Leverley Hills in Los Yeah. It's the flat part of Beverly Hills, Leverley Hills.
Presumably, this is when his career wasn't doing too well.
So, deviation there. Right, Paul, you're in first. The ideal garden is with you, and you have 24 seconds starting now.
Of course, some people say that the ideal garden was the Garden of Eden, where Adam and Eve would stroll around without any clothes on, until Eve one day said to...
It was getting very exciting and had me going there, Paul, but Derek got in. 15 seconds for you, Derek. What was your challenge? We just confirmed.
Repetition, too much of Eve with nothing on.
Yes. So you have 15 seconds on the ideal garden, starting now.
Lee showed me his lawn, which was actually made of plastic grass. And it was a very good idea because instead of having to mow it, he used to hoover it every day. And I thought for me this would be the ideal garden to have because...
Ideal for Liberace, but I don't think the ideal garden. Derek, you kept going to the whistle when gained that extra point. You have increased your lead at the end of the round and it's Peter Jones' turn to begin. Peter, the subject we've got here is a useful thingamabob. Oh. It's an unusual subject, but you're not an unusual personality, so can you talk in an unusual way for 60 seconds, if you can, starting now?
A useful thingamabob, or doodah, is a sort of whatchamacallit, and was invented by, what's his name?
Richard Murdoch challenge.
There was a slight hesitation. He had an in there, which
With all those words he was getting, I'm not surprised. So, yes, but Richard, you were correct. It was a repetition, and you have 50 seconds to
repetition
tell us something.
Repetition of what?
Hesitation. I've only been doing this for 22 years. I'm not quite sure of the rules yet.
I know. Another year or two, you'll be getting into it.
Another year or two, they'll put him down.
Would every member of the audience who applauded that remark of kindly be ejected? Richard, yes, a hesitation. A useful thingamabob is the subject. There are 50 seconds left, Richard, starting now.
A thingamabob is also called a whatchamacallit or a what's it. It can be a sort of mixture of them all, such as ash. No. And I couldn't think what it was
yeah,
a mixture
of. Got
on.
In there.
Hesitation, he sort of stopped, didn't he?
Yes. Yes. Well, he was searching as Peter was earlier. 41 seconds left, and we're going to hear from you on a useful thingamabob.
Actually, a useful thingamabob is rather like a useful thingamajig. And in fact, I have one now, I think of it, in my pocket here. This is not the sort of thing that you've always seen before, and you mightn't necessarily know what it was. So you would call it a thingamabob, because the actual word escapes you. That is why this particular phrase, I think...
Richard Murdoch challenge.
That's another particular.
And you have 21 seconds to tell us something now about a useful thingamabob starting now.
The word I was trying to think of was gallimaufre. There's also olla podrida, which means roughly the same thing, as a thingamabob. Or a whatchamacallit, which I have already mentioned and for which I thoroughly deserve.
Paul Merton spotted it first, so Paul, you were having him for repetition there, and you have 8 seconds to tell us something about a useful thingamabob starting now.
Another word for thingamabob is yunga gangdungwaga, or in other words, a yimidimadongbidoyoya, or...
Derek Nimmo challenged.
Repetition of dogger.
I must confirm that you did actually say dogger twice. So there's half a second left on a useful thingamabob with you, Derek, starting
a
now.
A useful thingamabob.
Well, Derek Nimmo's getting a lot of points in this game, and he got a number in that round, including one for speaking as the whistle went, has increased his lead. And let me just tell you that in second place equal are Richard Murdoch and Paul Merton, followed by Peter Jones, and Derek Nimmo's turn to begin, and the subject now is Dracula. We certainly get around the world in this Dracula thingamabobs, but there are 60 seconds, as always, Derek, starting now.
Yes, Nicholas, you're very observant. If we're going to talk about Count Dracula, we'll have to go to Transylvania, where he lived in this vast castle. And unfortunately, he was bitten quite early in life by a vampire. Now, they are believed to be the souls of heretics who took a bat form and then flew into people's windows and with their sharp teeth drew the blood, and so it happened to Dracula, and he himself became one of these aforementioned dreaded creatures. And the only way to get rid of Dracula was to drive a stake into his heart. To keep him away, you could use garlic, but it didn't always work, or the prayer book, and sometimes rosary beads. But this thing that our lawyer Lord died upon is the actual thing which you must shove into Dracula if you are going to did him. And that's what we want.
Richard Murdoch's
challenge. I was just getting going.
He had a stake driven into his heart, and the word came in again.
Driven in?
Yes.
Yes, that's right. Yes, yes. You were all listening to him say he was going to use the word heart, and he didn't, but you got him on the driven. So, well done, Richard. You've got 6 seconds to tell us something about Dracula starting now.
It's not generally known that the word Dracula spelled backwards is Alucard. And
well, that interesting thought kept you going to the whistle, Richard, and gave you an extra point, and you're now clear in second place ahead of Paul Merton, and Peter Jones is following behind Paul, but out in the lead is Derek Nimmo, and Paul Merton's turn to begin. Paul, the subject, bottle.
Well, again, this is one of these words which means something else. Bottle can refer to courage or nerve. For example, a parachutist who refuses to jump out of a plane, maybe because he...
Derek Nimmo challenge.
Sadly, a hesitation. It's not his first time.
Oh. I disagree entirely. Oh. Do you mean in the audience?
Who said that?
I don't think he hesitated, no. I think you should keep going about the parachutist. Right. 49 seconds, we want to hear from you, Paul. A point for an incorrect challenge on bottle starting now.
If he was to jump out without a parachute, he could be said to...
Derek Nimmo challenge.
Do it again then, or I miss hearing it.
What are you challenging for?
He keeps saying doesn't he? Or am I
gonna... He didn't say he actually repeated parachute, but you didn't challenge him for that. So, Paul, you keep going with 44 seconds on the bottle, starting now.
I had a friend called Ernie. We all called him He would go down...
Derek Nimmo challenge.
Not hesitation, repetition of
But hadn't we ruled that I hadn't said before?
I'd like to hear what happened to the man who was about to jump out of the plane.
I think we all
do. He doesn't
do.
Come round much anymore.
So, Paul, you're going to continue with 39 seconds on bottles starting now.
15,000 feet he plummeted towards the earth. His ears were held back by the wind as he attempted to fly back up to the plane, but it was of no avail because he travelled down to terra firma at such a rate that he was flattened out as flat as a pancake by the time he'd hit the ground. And his wife later described his condition as very satisfactory.
Now, this has got to do with bottles. Deviation.
Well, you have to have bottle to tell a story like that.
Peter, you took the very words out of my mouth.
No, I was going to say,
but you say you're so much better than I do. So I think you've answered for me. So Paul gets another point for incorrect challenge. And he continues with 12 seconds on bottle, starting now.
Another example of bottle was perhaps the gladiators who would have to go into the ring to fight various lions. Now, these animals would be lined up outside
Richard, yeah. What was your challenge, Richard?
Yes,
definite hesitation, Richard, and you've got in with half a second on bottle, starting now. So Paul Merton got a number of points in that round, and Richard Murdoch also got one for speaking. He got two, actually, and also one for speaking as a whistle went. And they're now together equal in second place, only a few points behind our leader, who's still Derek Nimmo. And Richard, your turn to begin. Silly songs. Will you tell us something about them? Starting now.
One hears a lot of silly songs on the wireless. Most of the songs written nowadays are rather stupid. In fact, you can't hear the words, so you don't quite know how silly they are. I have written and sung some silly songs.
A sort of deviation. He was talking about spinning.
Yes.
Well, singing.
Spinning songs, yes.
It doesn't matter whether you're still on silly songs, whether he's spinning or singing. So, Richard, you have another point in 42 seconds on silly songs, starting now.
A silly song might be, don't eat peas with a very sharp bread knife. It's inadvisable. Just use a sizable thing like a ladle or a fork instead. Don't advise... Oh, yes. I know lots
Peter,
more.
Peter, you challenged again.
Well, deviation, repetition and hesitation.
I guilty of all three.
Yes. But I can only give you one point. I'm sorry, Peter, yes.
Oh,
but no, as you're so far behind, I'll give you 3 points. There we are. And you had 31 seconds to catch up and talk on silly songs starting now.
When there was a boy...
I'm sorry, I think I completely inhibited you by my cruel remark about giving you 3 points.
Oh, so it was crushing, it was.
Yes, it was. So I think it was extremely unfair of me, and I don't like to be unfair as chairman of Just a Minute, so I will not allow Derek's challenge and tell you to keep going for 30 seconds with silly songs starting now.
It was called You Can't Do That There Here, and anywhere else you can actually perform this act, but not in the present position that you're in. That was the paraphrase of the song, which was really as silly.
You've been challenged.
Who Richard. Is telling me?
Richard challenged first, yes.
Yes, yes, it was very, very, very... a big hesitation there.
A big hesitation, yes, he definitely said, And Richard, you got the subject of silly songs back with 18 seconds to go, starting now.
Well, nothing happened at all that day. I definitely hesitated.
That occasion, yes.
It wasn't long enough, though, to be a hesitation.
Yes, that's right. Derek got in first, and he has 16 seconds on silly songs starting now.
One of the silly songs that I used to enjoy in my youth, which, of course, is a very long time ago, is Mars Eat Oats and Does Devour Cereals.
Richard Murdoch challenged.
It's yes. Mares, not Mars.
That's not... It's not Mars. It's not either the thing you eat or your mother.
It's Mares. Mares it oats.
Mares it oats and oats and oats and little lambs and little ivy. I can't lie with you, wouldn't you?
We'll let you know.
Yes,
No, I don't think you've got the job, Derek, and so Richard has the job, which is to continue talking on silly songs with 6 seconds to go, starting now.
Well, I remember Mazzy Doats and Dozy Doats and Little Lambsy Tivey, Kiddly Tivey 2, Clog.
Derek Nimmo Chubb.
Tradition of Eat.
Derek, you've got it with 1 second to go on silly songs, starting now.
My Uncle Jerry's got a very big belly.
So a lot of points were scored with silly songs, and the situation now is that Derek Nimmo is in a lead, but only 2 points ahead of Richard Murdoch, who's 4 points ahead of Paul Merton, and it's Peter's turn to begin. Peter, the word is rag. Again, one of those subjects you can take in many different ways. Let us find out how you're going to take it in just a minute as you begin now.
It's the kind of entertainment that medical and university students mount to collect
Derek Minow challenge.
Sorry, he's sort of hesitant.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah,
yes, well, you need to apologise for that.
Well, you have to apologise, because otherwise you'll give him 3 points.
I've only done that once in 22 years, so you've got to be a little different occasionally. 53 seconds for you, Derek, on Rag, starting now.
One of the better-known clubs in Pall Mall, of course, is the Army and Navy Club, which is frequented by distinguished officers of their said forces. And that is known to, as the Rag.
Paul Merton challenge.
Oh, we just came to what it was to do
I think
with
you got in just in time, Paul, because I think you'd be going...
Everybody knows that the Army and Navy Club is called the Rag.
Let's ask this audience. Does everybody in this audience know that the Army and Navy Club is called the Rag?
They do now.
You see, none of them knew. There we are. You knew, but it was not established sufficiently quickly, so it is deviation, Derek. You've got to establish these facts fairly rapidly. Paul, you have the subject. 43 seconds. Rag, starting now.
A rag is a useful household object. You can use a rag to wipe down the windows or to clean a table or perhaps to polish the television screen. Rag is also a very popular name for a pony, and many is the young girl who's woken up at Christmas time to find a small horse in her stocking and thought, this is marvellous, I can go...
Peter Jones's challenge.
You can't get a horse into a stocking.
Can I emphasise...
Deviation.
Can I emphasise that this is a very small horse?
It's a very big
stocking, yes.
And it could have been a toy horse as well, couldn't it? So, therefore, he was not deviating. And, Paul, you have 20 seconds to continue on Rag, starting now.
Rag was the name that I gave to my Batman in the Army. Or as in the Navy as well, as you know, that's known as the Rag, doing the rag.
Peter Jones, a challenge.
Hesitation.
Yes, I think he did err on that occasion, Peter. So you have hesitation and the subject of rag and 11 seconds starting now.
Well, that's really more than I need. However...
Paul Merton's helped you out by challenging first.
Oh, he did, yeah.
And we give Peter Jones a bonus point because we enjoyed his remark. And... Paul Merton a point because he got a correct challenge, and he's also got the subject of rag, and 7 seconds starting now.
Rag is one of those words that if you spell it backwards, it spells gar. G-A-R.
So Paul was speaking then when the whistle went, gained that extra point. He's still in third place. No, he's not. He's equal in second place now alongside Richard Murdoch. They're still trailing our leader, Derek Nimmo, by 3 points. And not far behind them is Peter Jones. But, Derek, it's your turn to begin. The subject is my bicycle. Will you tell us something about that in this game starting now?
Yes, my bicycle has 2 wheels, spokes...
Well, there's a surprise. So the 7-wheeler I've got's out of fashion then, is that?
Actually, I was
can I challenge for unnecessary information?
I thought you were going to say, knowing Derek's age, we were surprised it wasn't three wheels. But
if we go a little bit further, we might find out he's got a saddle as well.
I have to describe
I'm trying to imagine
it
in my mind.
We get to one of those occasions when I'd like to give a bonus point to Paul because we enjoyed the challenge, but he actually, Derek, wasn't deviating in any way, so he does keep the subject and gets a point for an incorrect challenge. My bicycle, 57 seconds left, Derek, starting now.
It has indeed a leather saddle, handlebar, cross across, and then we have a bell and a gear change. And then is the happy day when I've taken it to New Zealand and driven down to Dunedin to see Shauna McFarlane, who used to be married to the Minister of Art, and he greatly admires my bicycle, and I give him a little trip sitting on the back, and he thought it was so exciting, and sent me going scurrying farther down to Invercargill to eat the Stewart Island oysters from the back of my bicycle. I took it back to the British Arts. I now keep it in Northampton.
Peter Jones has challenged.
A deviation.
Why?
Eating the oysters from the back of his bicycle. Now, what does
he
mean?
I think it would be almost impossible to eat oysters in
the
back of
your
bicycle.
Yes, you'd never get them open, would you?
And he had this Minister of the Arts with him on the back of the bicycle anyway. So yes, where the oysters were,
I got rid of him by then. I went down to Invercargill to get the oysters. You don't listen, you see.
I was listening.
Stewart Island oysters come from Invercargill, not Dunedin.
Derek likes to bring in the name Invercargill because he had a big success. I think his last in Invercargill. So naturally wants to publicise it.
Well, I'll tell you the situation. There are 20 seconds to go. We're in the last round. Derek's still in the lead. I don't think he can be assailed. And, Peter, you certainly can't overtake him. So we'll give you the point. And tell you to tell us something about my bicycle, starting now.
Hesitation. I didn't say anything.
Yes, but as Peter...
Well, he didn't say anything. Somebody didn't say anything, so I must have won. Nobody said anything, and I challenged. Either I didn't say something...
You're going to win the game anyway, Derek, so shut up.
Don't say that. We all lose heart if you say that... Go home.
As I say, it doesn't matter who wins the game. It's the contribution that you make. And your contribution is enjoyed and appreciated and loved, isn't it, ladies and gentlemen? Yes. And there are 19 seconds left now at the end of this game, this end round and also this game. And we're going to hear from you, Peter, on my bicycle. So we want to hear from you.
My first bicycle was a Norton, made by the people who made the motorcycles.
Derek Nimmo challenge.
He made it twice.
It was made twice, yes.
Was it?
Yes.
Oh, dear, oh, dear. Still, you got the meaning of it, didn't you?
So, Derek's got another point, and he's got the subject back of my bicycle starting now.
My bicycle was not a Norton, it was a Raleigh. A name after that distinguished...
Richard Murdoch has challenged.
That's not an ordinary bicycle, that's a motor bicycle.
A Raleigh.
And we are talking about a bicycle.
A Raleigh.
Which one
bicycle?
Is not a...
Well, the
which,
Raleigh...
Which one?
Oh, yes, I believe he's right, yes. It's so long since I had one that I've well forgotten. I do apologise to...
It doesn't matter. It was great fun. Derek, you have another point because it was an incorrect challenge. You're further out in the lead. There are 11 seconds towards the end of the show and you go on my bicycle starting now.
I just think to my wife sitting on my bicycle, Patty, Patricia, give me your answer, do. I'm half crazy off the love of you. It won't be a stylish marriage. You can't afford
Peter Jones, a challenge.
It's better than Mersey Doats. He is improving, actually.
But you're still going to let me know.
He is improving. Right, so we'll let you know. Another point to Peter, because we enjoyed that challenge. And there's half a second for Derek to continue on. My bicycle starting now.
Bicycle flips. Right.
So, as you realise from what I said a little while ago, we now have no more time to play just a minute, so I will give you the final situation. All of them, almost three of them, were equal together, just one point between the three of them, which is very difficult to work out, but I'm not going into details on that. But they were all a number of points behind Derek Nimmo, who never stopped talking throughout this particular show, and therefore he not only deserves the honour which we accord him this week of saying, Derek, you are the winner. We hope that you have enjoyed this edition of Just a Minute, and if you do, we hope that you want to tune in again next week when we take to the air. On behalf of our four superb panellists, Paul Merton, Richard Murdoch, Peter Jones and Derek Nemo, also the man who thought of the game, Ian Messiter, and our producer who sits behind us in a little glass bowl looking at us all, at his Edward Taylor, and myself, Nicholas Parsons, thank you for tuning in from us all. Goodbye.